Francis. Text 11. Tatrati paratram evam eva varsham kama ketram anyayasti varshani swarginam punya shesho pabhoga stanani bhumani swaga padani vaya pati shanti. Translation. Among the nine Varshas, the tract of land known as Bharatvarsha is understood to be the field of activities. Learned scholars and saintly persons declare the other eight Varshas to be meant for very highly elevated pious persons. After returning from the heavenly planets, they enjoy the remaining results of their pious activities in these eight earthly Varshas. Please repeat. Among the nine Varshas, the tract of land known as Bharatvarsha is understood to be the field of fruitive activities. Learned scholars and saintly persons declare that the other eight Varshas to be meant for very highly elevated pious persons. After returning from the heavenly planets, they enjoy the remaining results of their pious activities in these eight earthly varshas. Purport, that's really problem. The heavenly places of enjoyment are divided into three groups. The celestial heavenly planets, the heavenly places on earth, and the Vila heavenly places, which are found in the lower regions. Among these three classes of heavenly places, Bhoma, Swarga, and Padani, the heavenly places on earth are eight Varshas, other than Bharatvarsha. In Bhagavad Gita 9.21, Krishna says, Kashini Punye Martya Lokam Shanti. When the persons living in the heavenly planets exhaust the results of their pious activities, they return to this earth. In this way, they are elevated to the heavenly planets, and then again they will fall to the earthly planet. This process is known as Brahmanda Brahmana. Wandering up and down through the universe, those who are intelligent, or in other words, those who have not lost their intelligence, do not involve themselves in this process of wandering up and down. They take to the devotional service of the Lord so that they can ultimately penetrate the covering of this universe and enter into the spiritual kingdom. Then they are situated on one of the higher planets known as Vaikuntha Loka, or still higher, Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan. A devotee is never caught in the process of being promoted to the heavenly planets and again coming down. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Eirupi Brahmananda, Brahmiti Koni Bhagwanji, Guru Krishna Prasadi Paya Bhakti Lata Bij. Among all the living entities wandering throughout the universe, one who is most fortunate comes in contact with a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus gets the opportunity to execute devotional service. Those who are sincerely seeking the favor of Krishna come into contact with the Guru, a bona fide representative of Krishna. The Mayavadi is indulging in mental speculation and the karmis desiring the results of their actions cannot become gurus. A guru must be direct representative of Krishna, who distributes the instructions of Krishna without any change. Thus, only the most fortunate persons come in contact with the Guru. As confirmed in the Vedic literatures, tat vigyanartam sa gurum ivi gacchat. One has to search out a guru to understand the affairs of the spiritual world. Srimad Bhagavatam also confirms this point. Tasmat gurum prapadyate jignashu shreya uttamam. One who is very interested in understanding the activities of the spiritual world must search out a guru, a bona fide representative of Krishna. From all angles of vision, therefore, the word guru is especially meant for the bona fide representative of Krishna and no one else. Padma Purana states, a Vaishnava guru nashyat, one who is not a Vaishnava or is not a representative of Krishna cannot be a guru. Even the most qualified brahmana cannot become a guru if he is not a representative of Krishna. Brahmanas are supposed to acquire six kinds of auspicious qualifications. They become very learned scholars, patana. Very qualified teachers, patana. They become expert in worshipping the Lord or the demigods, yajana. And they teach others how to execute this worship, yajana. They qualify themselves as bona fide persons to receive alms from others, pratigraha. And they distribute wealth in charity and dhan. Yet, even a brahmana possessing all these qualifications, he cannot become a guru unless he is a representative of Krishna. Guru nashyat Vaishnava swapacho guru. But a Vaishnava, a bona fide representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, can become a guru, even if he is a swapacha, a member of the family of dog eaters, of the three divisions of heavenly planets, Swagaloka, Bhuma Swaga, is sometimes accepted as attractive land in Bharatvarsha known as Kashmir. In this region, there are certainly good facilities for material sense enjoyment. But this is not the business of a pure transcendentalist. Srila Rupa Goswami describes the engagement of a pure transcendentalist as follows. Anyabhilashita shunyam dhyanakamadi anabritam anukulina krishna shilanam bhakti uttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Those who are fully engaged in devotional service to Krishna, just to please him, are not interested in the three divisions of heavenly places, namely Divya Swaga, Bhauma Swaga, and Bila Swaga. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Jananjanan Shalakaya Takshura Maritan Dina Tashmayashu. Jaya Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Garada, Shivashari, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Among the nine Varshas, the tract of land known as Bharat Varsha is understood to be the field of activities. So we can see in this recording in the Srimad Bhagavatam the descriptions of the different of the universe, the different planetary systems, etc. And how beautiful it is, how well created Krishna has done everything. The whole universe is so delicately managed by Krishna. Nobody could even dream of creating something like this with the technicalities of and the details of how the creation begins and is maintained and is ultimately dissolved. So here talking about the different heavenly planets. Actually it's not so bad, just we're in Kali Yuga, that's the problem. Other yugas, it's not bad. it's heavenly, it's nice, it's enjoying. So we have different bhashas near Bharat Bhasha. This is where we are. Bharat Bhasha, but this is the place of the field of fruitive activities where we perform activities to get results. So therefore this is not such a good place. And it gets worse as Kali Yuga progresses. But this is pretty good because it awakens the people up. Otherwise it's quite good in this world. And the different bhashas that are existing now are kind of heavenly. If you can get there. But you get there by pious activities, etc. Here is given a description that when you perform pious activities, you can be promoted to the higher planetary systems. But as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, after that piety has been exhausted, again you have to come back and take birth in the material world. But first you stop off on the other varshas. And just the remaining piety, there is a lot of enjoyment there. It says there's a deity on every varsha, a predominating deity. But here, Bharadvarsha, here is the place where we perform fruitive activities. So therefore this place is special. Generally everybody said this, my place is special, wherever I am is special. My India is great. You see the sign. But they don't know how great it is actually. So definitely it's the greatest place on the planet as we know it. Because here they have the Vedic culture still being practiced. But still it's not, even if you're born here in Bharadvarsha, still it's not solving the problems of repeated birth and death. So the idea is that this place is special, Bharadvarsha is special because this place is where you perform your fruitive activities to get a next result. So by your activities will determine your next destination. So if you perform pious activities, you'll be elevated to the higher planets, enjoyment. If you perform impious activities, you'll go to the lower planets, suffering in the hellish planets for some time. Also the Bilva lower planet systems are also heavenly, also some places there are heavenly. Not the hellish planets, but there are lower planetary systems that are heavenly, kind of heavenly. But they're not so much devotees then. The demigods are more devotees. So therefore they have, it's even better then. But the idea is that now you come here and you perform activities to determine your next destination. So therefore it's called the field of activity. So therefore Krishna comes here. He's there in all the different other varshas, but in the deity form. But here, Krishna personally comes. He says, I personally come when there is a decline in irreligion and establish the pure religious principles according to the time and circumstances. So different avatars of Krishna are coming, establishing the different yuga dharmas. So this is great because now you have a choice. You have to perform activities anyway in this material world, in this Bharat Bhumi. You got to perform activities. For your next destination. So therefore, that's great because then Krishna comes and he preaches the Yuga Dharma. Look, if you perform these activities, you're here to perform activities to elevate you to the next destination. So why not follow these activities that I'm presenting? So in all the different avatars of the Lord, they come and they give different processes according to the time and circumstance. So that's why Bharat Vashri is so great. Because Krishna, he can go anywhere in the world, but generally he always appears in India. He sometimes sends his representatives to the outside of India, to the Malecha Desh. So you get Prophet Muhammad and Jesus. These are Shakyavesh avatars, they're empowered personalities to preach to people who have sub-religious principles. But Krishna himself, generally, he doesn't go there. But he appears in this tract of land because here is Purnabhumi. Here people are pious. They have culture. So when Krishna comes here, he's not going to be insulted. If he takes his birth in America or somewhere like that, he's going to get insulted because nobody knows how to treat God when he comes. So what is the use? If he comes and he's insulted, then the living entities will go to hell. So why would he want them to do that? It's like Mahaprabhu, he said, now I come to deliver everyone, but the people are criticizing me. Some people, some classes of people are criticizing me. What is the use? I came to deliver them, but now they're criticizing me, and by their activity alone, they're going to go to hell. So therefore, he devised the means how to stop people from criticizing him by taking sannyas, and everybody respected always the sannyasi. So that was one of his tricks for preaching. He took sannyas. So Krishna, he appears here in Bharatvarsha because if he goes through the Western countries, you go to your friend's house sometimes, or you knock on the door of someone's house and they say, you wait outside for while we're eating our food. In India you go, oh please come in, sit down, we'll offer you some respect, would you like some food? And so this is culture there. So Krishna always appears here. And he's not insulted. He goes to Dhritarashtra's palace. They're arch enemies. But he gets treated like God because he's a titi saver. Oh, he's come to our house. Let's wash his feet. Let's treat him properly. Let's offer prayers. Even though they're big enemies. He goes to Yudhisthira's palace. He gets the same treatment. So therefore, God can move around easily, whether his Varnashram's Vedic culture is being practiced, because he doesn't get insulted. So outside of that, where Vedic culture, it says the further away from India you get, the less Vedic culture you will find, and it's a fact. The more degraded you get, because you get the further away from India, the more degraded it becomes. Yavana, Malacha, etc. So therefore Krishna always appears here in Bharatvarsha. He could appear anywhere, but he appears here. And he can move around freely because the culture is still practiced. So this is the glory of Bharatvarsha, is that here you can choose your next destination. So just like in Bhagavad Gita, it's a book on destiny. Krishna says, if you do this, you get this result. If you act in the mode of goodness, you get happiness as a result. If you act in the mode of passion, you get misery as a result. If you act in the mode of ignorance, you get madness as a result. If you worship this demigod, you go to that planet. If you worship the pitchers, you go to pitcher. It's a book on destiny. Krishna's given you so many instructions. If you control your senses, this will happen. If your mind will become peaceful, this super soul will be reached. It's all about your destiny. If you follow Krishna's instructions, then that's your... Actually, it's a book on... Bhagavad Gita is a book on destiny. You can make your next destination. So that's why Krishna comes here, but he incarnates here, and he gives the process according to the age. And especially in this age, Krishna appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu was also given instruction, Bharata Bhumi. Again, Bharatvasha, Bharati Bhuma Hoilashe, Manusha Chandama. You take a birth as a human. Mahaprabhu is dealing with humans, not anything less than human. They have no capacity to really understand. So those who have taken human birth, you understand this science of Bhagavad. Then when you're convinced, you take it and give to others. This is your duty. Those born in Bharatvarsha. Mahaprabhu was given their duty. First you become convinced of this science of Bhagavad. When you are convinced, you convince others. So this is the duty of India. Prabhupada said India is especially meant for self-realization. It's especially designed for it. You can walk around with no money here. You can sleep under the tree, the climate is good. You can go to a house, mother give me alms. She will give you some rice. You can't do that in the West. Too cold as well mainly. But their culture is not there. So Mahaprabhu said, yeah, so this is the, India is the head of society, they're the gurus of society. When we talk about self-realization, yoga, mind control, karma, etc., sense control, everybody looks to India. Everybody knows India, yeah, they had that, they had the essence of that. They don't talk about India's technology, but they talk about India's knowledge, Vedic knowledge. Everybody respects it, because this is the greatest thing. So therefore, Indians are actually the leaders of society, the leaders of the world, they should. That's their responsibility, according to Mahaprabhu. You're Indian, you're born in Bharatvarsha, you're born in this culture. It's your duty to take it and give to others who don't have it. Oh, this is a mistake of the sadhus. They didn't take up this message properly. And when the traders came to India, where were they from? Mostly from East Indian trading company, what was it? Dutch. The Dutch came trading, and then you had all the others, and then the British came and they colonized, they took over, the Moguls came. And that should never have happened. They shouldn't have taken over. But the fault of that was with the sadhus in India. They didn't do their duty properly. They should have preached to these people, even they're coming from Malecha backgrounds or Yavana backgrounds. They should have preached to them and brought them up to a higher level and told them about the essence of Vedic knowledge. But they were saying, no, these are untouchables. Yavana Malecha, they're meat eaters. So we'll avoid them. That was a mistake. Everybody should give them the chance to become Krishna conscious, especially when they come in the country. They should have been preached to, but they were ignored and therefore they became powerful. Actually, they could have taken the culture everywhere. Anyone will take this culture if he hears it properly from the proper source. We are evidence. Many of us coming from Malecha countries, we are evidence of this. We heard the philosophy and we accepted it. It's not only just one or two, it may be a freak thing, but no, it's with millions and thousands of devotees all over the world. They're taking it because when you're confronted with the truth, You cannot deny the truth. And Krishna is the truth, the holy name is the truth, the process of bhakti is the truth, the soul is the truth. And when you hear about this, when you're in association with these devotees who are preaching the truth, practicing the truth, you cannot deny it. So this is the glory of India, Bharatvarsha. And see, these are the special features of Bharatvarsha. You can get your next destination by your activity. You can choose wherever you want to go in the universe, providing you perform the proper activities. You can go to the higher planets. Here we're hearing about so much enjoyment is there in these higher planetary systems. You can have that enjoyment, but Prabhupada's pointing out that up and down, going up and down in this samsara business, this is not very intelligent. Even though there's many heavenly planets, you can traverse the heavenly planets and come back again to the material world and then perform pious activities to go back up again to the heavenly planets. This is not satisfying for the soul, actually. The living entity, he worships the demigods, say. Then those who worship the devatas go to the devatas. So he takes his next birth on the devatas planets and he enjoys. And then he'll come back again and he has that impression. Again he comes back and takes birth again in Bharatvarsha. Again that impression is there. It was a good time in Swargaloka. So he performs activities. He goes back again there. He's got lots of friends there. He comes back again. Again he goes back, but then he's thinking, well, I've done this a few times, I'm still not really feeling satisfaction. So let me change my demigod. Let me change my mode of worship. Let me change my... I'll see if I can get satisfaction somewhere else. So even you're up in the heavenly planets, it's great, it's exciting, but after some many births up there, up and down, your soul is searching for happiness. And that happiness is understanding one's relationship with Krishna and engaging in that. But he doesn't find it up in the heavenly planets or on the earthly planets. But this is what the soul is searching for. So then he changes his mode of worship. He changes his demigod. He worships Indra instead of Ganesh. He does Pitra Puja and he goes up to Pitra Loka. Pitra Loka means where the forefathers dwell. Krishna says, those who worship the forefathers, they go to Pitra Loka. Why? Because whatever your consciousness is fixed on at the time of leaving your body, that state you will attain without fail. So they're thinking of their forefathers doing their worship, and as a result, they go to that place. They're coming from a nice community, the Patel community. Patel Loka, not Patala Loka, becomes Patel. That same family, they'll go and join their family members, that dynasty in Pitri Loka. They meet all their old family members there, their dynasty. And then they'll, after some time, because they worship their Pitras nicely. They went up to Pitra Loka. They did the same community, same people. Different bodies. More subtle bodies, the Pitras. They worship their forefathers. And they go up. Then they... Then the next generation comes and they put the picture of their father up there. And the grandfather's picture is there. The father's next generation comes on. Generally they put the great-grandfather's picture is not there. It's just the father and his father, his grandfather. So the moment you stop doing puja to the grandfather, again he comes down from Pitriloka. He's kept up there by the puja that you perform down here. So after one or two generations, that nobody remembers the great-grandfather, so they take his picture off the wall and they worship the latest one. So they, as long as that worship goes on, they stay up in Pitriloka. When the worship stops, again they come back and they take birth again in the same family community. They'll be born in the Patel family, the community of Patel. So like this, they'll be going up and down, and they've got the same relatives and same friends. They've got different bodies, but it's all the same community because of the attachment. But still, that's not satisfying. Even you've got your friends, relatives, and you're living with them here and in Pitriloka, still it's not satisfying for the soul. He wants something more than this. He thinks he can find it with relatives and friends, but he doesn't. So then the soul, by its nature, suddenly it'll move on. Let me go somewhere else and seek happiness. It must be another way. And like this, the soul is transmigrating through one body to another throughout the universe. Billions and billions and billions of bodies, looking for that satisfaction. Only when he meets a devotee of Krishna, actually is his devotion activated again. So this is why Prabhupada is stressing so much here on the point of taking a guru who is actually a representative of Krishna, not just some ordinary guru. In the, of course, human birth is very rare, and of all the human birth, the birth of a brahmana is glorious. You're born in a brahmana family, but that's not sufficient. One has to progress further. He has to come to the point of bhakti, devotional service. The brahmana, you get your first birth from father and mother. This is called the shokra janma, or seminal birth, your natural father and mother. In the brahman family, that's very good. And the second birth, that's when you receive the sacred thread. It's called the Savitri Janma. Pure birth. The second birth, we call the second birth. You initiate it into the Savitri, the Gayatri Mantra. From the generally the Kula Guru, the family guru. If you're born in that family, he will give you the sacred thread from then. He'll give you the Brahminical mantra. Om Bhuvah Shwa. Again, we're talking about this material. Bhuvah Shwa, the universe. These different locations. But what he's pointing out, this mantra, is that these three units. What is the essence of these universes? Om Tat is to understand that Vishnu. Vishnu is existing through. He is to be understood through this. Om Bhuvashwa. It is he is to be found. He is to be sought. It's he who inspires us. It's not just being on Bhuvaloka, Swagaloka. No, it's when we turn again to Vishnu. So the whole purpose of the Gayatri mantra is. To come to the point of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who is all-pervading in this world. Generally, the Gayatri Mantra worships the sun god, Savit, the super soul of the sun god. Vishnu is the super soul of the sun, so generally and he's golden color, not blackish, because he lives on the sun, fire planet. So this is, according to Jiva Goswami, this is the ultimate purpose of the chanting the Gayatri Mantra, is to understand that super soul of the sun god, who dwells in the heart of the sun god, is he who inspires her, he creates her, he destroys her. So therefore, Savitri. Savitri is the female counterpart of Savitur. Savitur is Vishnu. So Savitri is the Shakti of Savitur. Gayatri, Saraswati, it's known as different names. Gaya means to reveal, Tri means the three Vedas. So that verse of Anatri, Gayatri, she's the energy of the Lord, the internal potency. The energy of the Lord that reveals the Lord, Gayatri, or the essence of the three Vedas, which is Krishna, Vishnu. So that's what the Gayatri is revealing. So the Brahman is, that's glorious. You get initiated and you chant and you're supposed to worship Lord Vishnu. Not simply remain, or no, I'm born in a Brahmana family, that's it, and stay in that position. You have to be twice born, and then when you're twice born, then you become qualified to hear the Vedas, which are describing Krishna, which are specifically the Vedas which are describing one's relationship with Krishna, Sambandha, eternal relationship with Krishna. Not all these descriptions of all the heavenly planets and how nice it is in the heavenly planets. This is not the real purpose of twice born person. He used to understand the cause behind all the, who is the creator behind the whole of these heavenly planets, the whole universe, everything. He is to be sought out, it is him. That is the person who inspires us. So that is the third birth, that is by the guru, by the acharya, who gives you Krishna consciousness, who gives you service to Krishna. Because the soul is the eternal servant of Krishna. And this is what the soul is looking for. This is what the pure devotee gives you. He revives your service to Krishna. Then the living entity becomes happy. That is what he is looking for. And many people, they will experience that. They're in front of a devotee or from the Bhagavad Gita, but they experience that just by being in the presence of the truth. So therefore the Prabhupada is pointing out how important it is to accept a guru who can reveal the truth, the essence of everything. It's talking about the Brahmanas here. What are their qualities? Patam, patam, yajna, yagya. All these different qualities that an expert Brahmana has, but it said that if the Brahmana, he doesn't give up all of his attachment to pious activities or fruitive results, he cannot become a Vaishnava. And a Swapacha, a dog eater, unless he gives up his sinful activities, he cannot become a Vaishnava. So a Swapacha, he cannot become a Vaishnava unless he gives up his sinful activities. And a Brahmana, he cannot become a Vaishnava unless he gives up his pious activities. Prabhupada used to say, no punya, no pap. We're not interested in punya, we're not interested in pap. No punya, no pap, only Radha Krishna. Prabhupada would say, only Radha Krishna. So this is the real purpose of the life. It's one understands one's eternal loving relationship with Radha and Krishna. So this is what the essence of the Vedas are for. Although Krishna says the Vedas are dealing mostly with the heavenly planets, talks of going to heaven and Somaras, and it's mostly dealing with that, Arjuna, but nice try, Gumbha. You come above that. You understand actually the real purpose of the Vedas, the essence of the Vedas. It is to reveal Krishna, it is to reveal your relationship with Krishna. So this is the importance of accepting the pure devotees of the Lord. Otherwise we continue. Brahmananda, Brahmati Krishna Bhagavan, Ji Guru Krishna Prasadi Paya Bhakti Lata Beach. Mother and father, you get every birth automatically. You don't have to worry about that, it's automatically. Mother, father, you get every birth. But Guru and Krishna, you do not get every birth. That you have to seek out. Prabhupada mentions here twice in this couple. One has to seek it out. Because that's not going to come automatically. Krishna consciousness, the spiritual master, won't come automatically. You have to seek him out. But your mother and father, if you're going up in the heavenly planet, mother and father, this planet, lower Bilba, mother, father, that's automatic. You don't worry about that. You don't make, that will come automatically. But Krishna and Guru, that will not come automatically. That you have to endeavor for. So that's why Bharatvastra is so important, because Krishna comes here and his devotees come here, his representatives come here, and they all give that same message: do not try to make a happy situation in this material world. Prahlad Maharaj. Maya Shukaya. It's a happiness that will never be. We're hearing about happiness. That's as far as it gets, actually. I'm sorry to spoil the show, but that's how far it gets. You hear about the happiness, but you never get it. You hear about it, but the anxiety and the endeavor to get that happiness you've heard about is worse. It's worse than the anxiety you're trying to get rid of. So you've heard about the happiness, but it doesn't actually work. So only spiritual happiness works, because it's eternal. This is Krishna's wonderful arrangement to wake us up, to understand that, you know, we're not actually the enjoyers. But have a damn good try. You go up to heavenly planets and build them. Round and round, have a good try. Only if you, by good fortune, you meet a devotee of Krishna, then Krishna consciousness can again be revived. Otherwise, very dangerous business. So here, Prabhupada's emphasizing this point. Because we're talking about heavenly planets, but he's quoting the Rupa Goswami that this is not our business to get interested in going to the heavenly planets, although it's written here in the Bhagavatam. What does Rupa Goswami say? One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably, and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. This is called pure devotional service. Those who fully engage in devotional service to Krishna just to please Him are not interested in the three divisions of heavenly pleasures, namely Dibba, Bhuma and Bila, Shvaga. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada, for coming and telling us, getting us out of this grand illusion that we've been sunk in so long. Otherwise, we'll still be moving around the universe looking for some so-called happiness. Hare Krishna. Okay, I'm supposed to finish at this time, so everybody can observe the Chandanyatra Mahotsav. Shrima Bhagatam ki. Anubeta Bhakta Brindi ki. Hari Hari. But there's happiness in Krishna consciousness. It's not that there's no happiness. There's happiness in Krishna consciousness and association.